The General Motors Hour. General Motors Holdens, through the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations in all states, present Be Your Age, starring Maddie Head. This is John Deese introducing our play. Tonight we go to Comedy, and a middle-class home in the state of Ohio, where a normally peaceful family finds itself disrupted by the unexpected engagement of one of Archibald K. Holly's daughters. It's not the fact that she's become engaged, it's who she's got herself engaged to that sends the family into uproar and Mr. Holly nearly to apoplexy. In this piece of finely constructed comedy, we star Maddie Head as Gwendolyn, the girl who causes the trouble, with Derek Barnes, Leonard Bullen, Fifi Banvard, John Hewitt, Jan Coughlan, and Reginald Collins. The play will be produced by Harry Harper. Ladies and gentlemen, Act One of the General Motors Hour production of Be Your Age.
Lois,
come into the living room, Bob.
Huh?
Oh, Bob, I've got something awful to tell you.
Oh, who's dead?
Nobody. Why?
Did you or did you not telephone my mother saying you wanted to see me on a matter of life or death?
Oh, now, don't kid. This is awfully serious.
Listen, Lois, my mother's got a magnificent lunch cooling off.
Bob, are you determined to get married?
Did you get me over here to ask a fool question like that?
It's not foolish. Wouldn't you prefer to stay a bachelor?
Your sister Gwen might have something to say about that. We're sort of committed.
I'm afraid you're under a slight misapprehension.
Huh? Well, how come?
Gwen is committed, but not to you.
You mean she's run off from college and got married?
No, not married, just engaged.
Just engaged? Who to?
Some cluck named Elliot Spurgeon. She's driving home from Columbus with him this morning. She wired.
Probably some hefty athlete who swept her off her feet at a fraternity dance.
It's a scandal to treat you like this when you've been going together for so long. Brushing you off like... like last year's snakeskin.
Well, I'm not going to take this as final. No college jerk is going to cut in on my girl.
It may not be easy if Gwendolyn's made up her mind. You know how obstinate she is.
So am I. Think that's her? I don't want to meet her until I've thought out what to say.
Well, she wouldn't ring the bell. She'd walk straight in. Anyway, I left the door open. Who is it?
Can I come in?
That's young Erickson, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Moonglow.
Oh, it's you. You do pick the most stinking moments to drop in, Crabapple.
Oh, hello, Bob.
Hello, Potter.
Yeah, you look lower than my algebra marks. As low as his old man fired you.
Not her old man, her sister.
For some college kid she's gonna marry.
Wow, what do you know? You ought to beat his brains out. I'll be glad to help.
Thanks, Potter. Your muscles might come in handy. Well, I suppose I must try and eat. I'll be back after lunch and see if they've come.
So long, Robert. And remember, I'm on your side.
Thanks. And thanks for tipping me off.
And now you can go, too. Be a good boy and go home.
You're always trying to kick me out of this joint.
Merely because my father doesn't like you. You annoy him, and he'll be home for lunch any minute.
What's he got against me?
It isn't you personally, Crabapple. It's your father and your silly newspaper. As far as Daddy's concerned, we're not Erickson and Holly. We're Montague and Capulet.
Lois, you ought to be upstairs cleaning up for lunch. Look at the time.
Good morning, Miss Rundle.
Good morning, Potter.
Well, I'll be by for you on Thursday, Moonglow, to pick you up for the party. 8:30?
If nothing better has turned up, I might go with you.
Girls drive me bats. The only place where I'm happy is at the country club in the men's locker room.
I really do think, Lois, that you treat Potter shamefully.
I do it deliberately. Potter is the leech in my life.
Someday you'll go too far and lose him. Oh, dear, I do wish that your mother lived. It's mornings like this make me feel that a maiden aunt shouldn't attempt to bring up children.
Hello, girls.
Hi, Father.
Oh, what a morning. Nothing but obstacles, disappointments, and snags. And you realize I'm faced with a strike at the plant. And on top of everything, you telephone me about this telegram from Gwendolyn. Ah, damn it. How could a daughter of mine do such a thing? Why, Bob's practically a part of the family. I built him to take over the business for me. Well, how could she jilt him in this casual way?
Now, Archie, pull yourself together. They'll be here any minute. You don't want to meet Gwen's fiancé with a face like a lobster.
I don't want to meet him at all. You know, I've been going crazy all the morning trying to remember where I've heard that name, Elliot Spurgeon, before. I think I've placed it. Lois, see if you can reach down my old college yearbook from off the top shelf.
Right.
You know, I think I might have gone to Ohio State with this boy's father.
No.
Yeah, he'd have a son about Gwen's age.
Your father?
Now, let me see. Here we are. Class of 1930. Here he is. I knew it. Old Fish Face.
Fish Face?
Spurgeon. Sturgeon.
Well, I don't think that's funny.
No, it probably isn't, but we thought it was hilarious in those days. Let me see now. Herbert Elliott Spurgeon, born 1910, Canton, Ohio. Yeah, he's 49. 1 year older than I am.
Were you very good friends?
Well, yes and no. We were fraternity brothers, you know. Sweet violets, sweeter than the roses. But we didn't have a great deal in common.
We can't jump to the conclusion that this boy of Gwen's is his son.
No, but it's a coincidence. You know, old Fish Face was quite a character in his way. Girls were crazy about him. Which reminds me of something. Lois, hadn't you better get ready for lunch? They might walk in at any minute.
You've just thought of something you don't want me to hear.
You're so sharp, you'll cut yourself one day, young lady. Now, go on.
Just when the conversation was getting really interesting.
Grace, you know, I'm not so sure I'll be too happy if this boy does turn out to be old Spurgeon's son.
Why, Archie?
Well, if my memory isn't cockeyed, Herbert got involved with a girl during his last term that I wouldn't care to have for my daughter's mother-in-law.
Was she common?
Well, she was expelled from school for stealing.
Oh, dear. Are you sure he married her?
Well, I remember getting a wedding invitation while your sister and I were on our honeymoon.
Oh, well, it's no good worrying ourselves with a lot of idle speculation. You worry too much, Archie.
Grace, Gwen's behavior suddenly made me realize what a fizzle I've been as a father. There's Vicky away in New York trying to be an actress. Lois running around with that damn Erickson boy, and now Gwen.
Don't be silly, Archie. You can't be held responsible because your daughter's changed her mind about the boy you wanted her to marry. Why, that can happen in any family.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Archie, dear, this lunch anticipates a wedding, not a funeral. Why don't you go down to the bar and mix some drinks?
You know, that's the first sensible suggestion I've heard today. Yes, I'll... It'll give me something palatable to think about. Now, if that's for me, say I'm down in the bar, dead drunk.
Hello? Yes, Mr. Erickson? Well, he's down in the bar dead... No, I mean he's at the Rotary Club having lunch. Oh, that's quite all right. Goodbye.
I'm here! Anybody home?
Gwen!
Hello, Aunt Grace.
Hey, did I hear the doorbell? Hiya, Gwen.
Hi, kid. Gee, you've grown tall.
Too tall for your old clothes at last.
Where's Daddy?
Down in the bar, getting some drinks.
How's the boyfriend? This, I gotta see.
Well, we took his car down to Fergus's garage for a grease. He'll be over any minute.
Are you really engaged, Gwen?
Well, look.
Oh, Gwen, darling. Oh, it's a lovely ring.
What a lump of zircon.
I'm mad about it. I think it's the most beautiful diamond I ever saw.
Looks a very expensive stone.
It was Elliot's mother's.
Oh, was it?
He gave me this clip of hers, too.
Oh.
And when we're married, I'm going to get her diamond bracelets. Elliot said she was always picking up jewelry.
What a profitable hobby.
Come in. The door's open.
Is this the residence of...
Fish Face!
Baldy! Sweet violets, sweeter than the roses.
Why, you old snake in the grass, this is a surprise.
I thought Gwen wired you.
She didn't say you were coming, but I'm delighted. Now I'll have an excuse to get really plastered.
I'd have known you anywhere, Archie, though you have matured.
You look as chipper as ever. Yeah, marvelous for your age. Have a drink, a Holly Special.
Oh, thanks.
Boy, oh boy. You know, you bring back the old days. Remember that warm October night when you and that redhead went swimming in the Roar in the Scioto?
All I remember is that you were so envious you stole my clothes.
Yeah. Swimming in the Roar with girls, that was a favorite caper of yours, wasn't it? You certainly wear hot stuff. You know, I used to envy your love 'em and leave 'em technique.
I've learned wisdom since then.
What? With your good looks and figure? Oh, boy, you can't kid me. No, no, sir. Your sort never changes. Oh, incidentally, I believe your wife died about 10 years ago.
My wife? What are you talking about?
Didn't you marry that girl who got expelled?
Oh, no.
You didn't? But you sent me an invitation to the wedding.
She had a guilt complex. She couldn't face it. The poor girl was a victim of society. That's what made me throw myself into female psychology.
Oh, is that your line?
Yes, I write books and lecture.
Huh. And who did you finally marry?
I didn't.
What?
No, I never married. I wanted to wait until I met the right girl.
But this boy of yours...
What boy?
Well, the one that Gwen worried about. The one she met at college.
I'm the boy she met at college, Archie.
What? But she said Elliot Spurgeon. You're Herbert Elliot Spurgeon.
I dropped the Herbert. Elliot looks more imposing on a book cover.
Well, I'm stunned. Just stunned.
Oh, there you are, Elliot. I thought I heard your voice. Hello, Daddy, darling. Oh, it's wonderful to see you. Have you and Daddy got reacquainted, Elliot? Is he surprised?
He says he's stunned.
Stunned, staggered, and speechless. I assumed it was some boy of your own age you went to college. Not a middle-aged man 1 year older than I am.
Age is a matter of how you feel. Elliot says he's just as gay today as he was at 20.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Can I come in?
Hello, Robert. Come in.
Hello, Gwen.
Hello, Robert. You look swell.
I don't feel swell. I'm good and mad. Where's this college drip you got yourself engaged to?
I have that honor.
What? Oh, excuse me, sir.
I'm Elliot Spurgeon. I lecture at Ohio State occasionally. I presume you're the boy next door. I never believed he existed except in women's magazines. Gwen's told me how you've always been like brother and sister together.
That's the first time I ever heard I was like a brother.
Robert!
Holy smoke, Gwen, you can't marry this guy. He's old enough to be your father.
Robert! Daddy, would you take Elliot into lunch? I want a word with Robert.
All right, we'll go. But the only sort of lunch I want is a liquid one.
Drinking puts years on your life, Archie.
Robert, I'm perfectly furious with you.
I'm too much of a gentleman to tell you what I think of you.
Oh, you... There are no words to describe you. Look out where you're going, Lois.
Sorry. Bob, have you seen him? What's he like?
He's a smooth-tongued chaser as old as your father.
And still going to school? He must be moronic.
He teaches.
Well, what are you going to do?
You tell me. If he was my own age, I'd beat the daylights out of him. I daren't even push this old bird. He might fall to pieces.
Yeah. This is a situation for making with the mind.
Don't worry. I'll think up something. I'm not going to lose my girl to any crummy man of distinction.
Oh, Archie, your coffee's cold. You haven't touched it. And you hardly ate any dinner.
Grace, what the heck is narcissistic identification?
What are you reading?
One of Eliot's masterpieces. I've looked up 6 words in the last paragraph, and none of them are even in the dictionary.
Well, you'd better ask Eliot what it means.
Oh, but damn it, I can't ask my future son-in-law to explain the facts of life. He's supposed to ask me. I'm not in.
Hello? Am I disturbing anybody?
I'm in. Hello, Robert.
Gwen's not home, Robert. The professor took her and Lois to the McKinley Hotel for dinner.
I'm glad Lois is with them.
Well, she seems to be Gwen's shadow these last 2 days. Have you put her up to tagging along on their dates?
Could be. I can't chaperone them all the time.
Smart idea. The less that pirate's alone with my daughter, the better I like it.
You two know nothing about women. The more you try to keep Gwen away from Elliot alone, the more she'll rush into his arms.
Yeah. Miss Rendell may have something there. Say, Mr. Holly, I'm going nuts. Do you think Gwen really intends to take the plunge with this ancient mariner?
Lord knows, I'm worried to a frazzle, too.
It can only be a passing infatuation.
But will it pass before they're married?
If I lose her to this guy, I'll never talk to another girl as long as I live. I'll go where there aren't any women.
Is there such a place?
Well, I've been offered a construction job down in the Amazon Valley. Of course, I turned it down, but I may reconsider.
Now, look. Have you talked this out with Gwen? Told her how you feel?
No, but I intend to.
Well, when you do, I suggest a change of tactics. Subtlety. That's what the situation demands. Subtlety.
I'm afraid I'm not very strong in that commodity.
Exactly. Elliot handles her with kid gloves. You use brass knuckles. Now, tax what you want, my boy. Tact and subtlety.
Yeah. Subtlety.
Now get this, Erickson. There's no sign of a strike. No. The night shift is working just as usual. There's not a man in the plant who wants to strike. Yeah, that's all I have to say. You're quite unwelcome.
Nosy newspaper man.
Are you sure everything is going to be all right, Daddy?
Of course I'm not sure. You know, in the old days, there used to be some fun in running a business. These days, all the fun's gone out of it. I say, I thought your fiancé was going to bring us up a drink.
Oh, he'll be here in a minute. Daddy, you haven't had much chance to talk to Elliot these last few days, so I'm going to leave you two alone for a while.
Here we are, Archie. I think you'll like these.
Darling, I just told Daddy I'm going to leave you two alone for a little chat. You should have a lot in common being so near in age.
Well, age is not what you hope to have in common with a son-in-law. And there's no point in our having a little chat. I can't stop this marriage. You're 21, Gwendolyn. And you can do as you please. But I shall go on record right now saying that I don't approve of it. This is one engagement I should be delighted to see broken. And when I give you away, my dear, it will be with a sinking heart. Furthermore, you can't cook.
Oh, Elliot, darling, what's the matter with him? Why does he feel like that?
Don't upset yourself, my sweet. He'll come round. Once we're married, he'll accept it.
If he only realized all the trouble I went through to get you, he'd understand. My goodness, how I had to chase you, darling. We haven't been alone together since we've been home. Look, let's take your car and drive out to the lake. We could go for a moonlight swim. And then we can light a fire in our summer cottage there. Now, who's this?
Take a look out of the window.
I will. Oh, darn, it's Bob. Come to sit out another date with us. I'm not going to let him spoil the night.
I think I must give you an evening to explain to this young man that I've taken you away from him.
Yes, I suppose I'll have to have it out with him. I'd better let him in.
Hello, Gwen.
Hello, Robert. What a shame. We're just going out.
Oh. Evening, Professor.
Evening, Robert.
Yes, we're just going for a swim in Turkey Foot Lake.
I don't mind driving you out there.
I'm sorry, Robert, but you forced me to be rude. We want to go by ourselves. I'll grab us a couple of towels, Elliot. Be right down.
Well, Robert, I suppose you're still sore at me.
I'm not licking any wounds. I haven't given up yet.
If you're counting on Gwen changing her mind, you're clinging to a pretty feeble straw.
You're very sure of her, aren't you?
No, I'm not at all sure. That's where you made your mistake. You were. Women don't like that. They like to feel they're unpredictable, erratic creatures of sudden moods.
You've sure got a line, Professor. With women, I mean. I guess that's the result of years of experience.
I'm ready, darling. Come on, let's go.
By all means.
Just 1/2 minute, Gwen. I want to ask you a question.
I'll drive round front.
I won't keep you waiting, Elliot.
I'll blow the horn. Good night, Robert.
Well, what's the question, Bob?
I want to talk to you alone. I suppose your fiancé will object violently, but you think you could arrange it?
Don't judge everybody by yourself, Robert. If you want to know, he suggested only a few minutes ago that you and I talk things over.
He did?
Yes. He's not a jealous person. He's mature and civilized.
If he was in my place, he'd be jealous. Unless he's too much in love with himself to be jealous of any girl.
Now, you wait a minute. If you want to talk to me alone so you can insult Elliot, I don't see that any purpose can be gained by the meeting.
Sorry, Gwen. It was very unsubtle. I always seem to put both feet in it when I'm around you. That's because I'm nuts about you. Can't think straight.
Well, I accept your apology.
I must go.
When do we get together?
I'll speak to Elliot. Probably Monday.
That's a date.
Is that Potter honking?
No, it's Elliot. Lois, give Bob a drink before he goes. Have a nice time with Potter.
The best I can hope for is a bearable evening.
Bye, Bob. So long, kid.
What would you like to drink, Bob?
I don't trust myself to have a drink, Lois. If I do, I'll follow them out to that lake and commit murder. Oh, I don't know how to cope with this situation. The professor's such a smooth character.
If you sit down under this and don't fight, you won't get her back.
How can you fight a sponge? That's what he is, a sponge.
Yeah, he was certainly dripping charm all through dinner.
When I think of those two at the lake in the moonlight, my blood begins to curdle.
Dear Bob, I do understand. I suffer for you.
Hey, what the heck do you think you're doing? You know, Robert, I'm ashamed of you. Here, I thought you were breaking a heart over Gwendolyn, and I find you consoling yourself with Lois.
Mr. Holly,
it's disgusting. She's still in her tweens. Too young for you. This business of girls playing around with men too old for them must be catching.
Father, you have a low mind. I was just sympathizing with Robert in his hour of need.
Well, sympathize with him mentally, not physically. And hand me those two drinks. That's what I came down for. I suddenly remember them.
Well, you don't want them both. You'll be potted.
I can think of no happier state. And tell me, where are the turtle doves?
They've gone out to the lake for a swim.
What?
Oh, well, don't look so horrified.
Did they take bathing suits?
Well, I saw there was a couple of towels.
Holy smoke. Robert, get your car. You drive Lois out there and chaperone that swim. Make it a foursome.
I said you have a low mind, Father. There are plenty of bathing suits at the cottage.
Yes, but Elliot's allergic to bathing suits. He'll have her in that lake like September morn.
That's all I need to hear. Come on, Lois. My car's in the back drive.
But I've got a date with Potter.
He can hold hands with me. I'm not in. What? Yes, Erickson. What? When? Oh, no! Come in.
A tutti-frutti evening, Mr. Holly.
It is not a tutti-frutti evening. It's the worst evening of my life.
And what's biting you, sir?
Your father, for one thing. He just told me gloatingly on the phone that the night shift in my plant has gone on strike.
Wow, what do you know? Hey, where's Moonglow, Mr. Holly?
Moonglow has stood you up.
The heck she has? Who for?
Robert, they're chasing Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn? What for?
To rescue her from swimming in her birthday suit with a fossilized Romeo.
And so ends Act One of our play. Tonight is Christmas Eve, that magical time of preparation and anticipation when stockings are hung, trees are decorated, and gifts are wrapped in readiness for the morrow. It is also a time for merrymaking, for an exchange of visits and greetings, a time to get out the car and go places. So, when you're using the roads this Christmas, remember this. The greatest, most valuable gift you can bestow on your fellow man is safety. A little too much speed, a moment of distraction, an unexpected mechanical failure in crowded traffic can turn holiday happiness into tragedy and heartbreak. Over the Christmas and New Year holidays last year, 62 people lost their lives on Australian roads. This must not happen again, will not happen, if everyone takes reasonable care. Three main elements govern safety in traffic: the vehicle, the road, and the driver. Of these three, statistics prove the driver to be by far the most important safety factor. And so, General Motors Holdens join with the Australian Road Safety Council and all similar organizations to ask you sincerely and earnestly to observe the golden rule of the road. This Christmas, and always, treat all others who use our highways as you would like them to treat you. A little more thought, courtesy, and consideration will make this a happier holiday season all round. And now, Act Two of the General Motors Hour production of Be Your Age.
Hello, Potts. This is Lois. Have we got a date tonight? Well, I was kind of counting on it. Daddy and Aunt Grace are out, and Elliot and Gwen wish I was. Wouldn't you like to angle down to the Caspar for a double malted? All right, Potter. I'll be happy to sit at home and watch the baseball game if that's what you want to do. Okay. No, I'll be over in a few minutes. Bye-bye, Dreamboat.
Lois, since when have you been so charming to Potter? You usually treat him like a doormat.
Oh, well, every girl in town is chasing Potter, and he's furious with me.
What caused the rift?
He's mad at me for driving out to the lake with Bob the other night.
So are Elliot and I. You all had a nerve to butt in on our quiet evening and turn it into a house party.
I'm not convinced it was going to be so quiet. I believe Daddy was right. However, as Bob and I got there in the nick of time, I suppose that's something we will never know.
Would you like some coffee, Elliot?
Thank you. You know you're charming. I like you pouring coffee for me. I can just imagine you, the perfect hostess, the youngest and most decorative woman in the room.
If the conversation's too brilliant, I'll also be the dumbest.
The most eloquent thing in the world, my sweet, is beauty, because it inspires others to eloquence.
Speaking of eloquence, I'll need all I can muster for my interview with Robert tonight. You sure you don't mind my seeing him?
Oh, didn't I suggest it? Besides, you're always perfectly free to do anything you like, my dear. Not that I shan't be very jealous.
Oh, you needn't have one more qualm, darling. I can't even imagine kissing him anymore. He seems so young after you. If he made a pass at me, I'd laugh in his face.
Hello, Turtle Doves.
Hello, Daddy, darling.
Am I tired? What a day.
Have you been working very hard?
I haven't been working. I haven't been talking. I've been listening. Ah, blast the strike and Erickson and his confounded new sheet.
Poor old Daddy. Well, come and sit down and entertain Elliot for a few minutes while I change into something pretty. I've asked Robert over. You'll have to go upstairs when he comes.
Yeah. I've been pushed out of my living room from the day the girls learnt to play post office.
Gwen, dear, as long as you're going to dismiss the young man from your life, why do you have to dress up in something pretty?
Elliot, you know that the night I convince him he can never have me is the night I intend to look my most alluring. Now, stop being jealous and have a drink with your old schoolmate, huh?
That's not a bad idea. Drink, Elliot?
No, thanks. I can't lap up tipples the way you do.
I'll say this for you, Elliot. Alcohol isn't one of your vices. I can remember, even back in college, you used to say it interfered with your amateur pursuits.
You have an uncomfortable memory for trivial things.
Well, it's not you as a person I'm kicking against. It's your past life.
I'll bet it's been no worse than yours. Tell me, Archie, haven't you ever thought of remarrying?
I've never met a woman. I thought it'd make a satisfactory mother for my daughters.
It would have done you a lot of good. Having a really sweet young woman look up to you, worship the ground you walk on, can do a lot for a man's ego.
Well, I wish you could have found some sweet young woman to butter up your ego who wasn't my daughter. Oh, that must be Robert. Come on in. The door's open.
Evening, Mr. Harley. Evening, Professor. Bit hot tonight, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is.
Gwen at home?
She's upstairs. And don't look so disconcerted, young man. I'm going out for a drive. Why don't you join me, Archie? A breath of air will cool you off.
I'll cool off upstairs in my sunroom with a little work. I'll tell Gwen you're here, Robert.
Thanks, Mr. Harley. It's nice of you to let me have this little talk with Gwen, Professor. You're a good sport.
Anything to oblige Gwen.
And you needn't worry about her and me. I'm throwing in the towel. I realize now that I can't compete with a guy like you.
What's brought about the change of front?
Your book, The Mechanism of the Female Mind. Most revealing. It's made me realize how I've always taken Gwen for granted. That's why I've lost her to you.
Hello, Robert. Did I keep you waiting?
Oh, no, not at all.
You certainly look most alluring, my dear. I have to summon up every ounce of my willpower to tear myself away.
That's what I love about you, Elliot. You think of the sweetest way of saying things.
Oh, well, I'll be getting along. I'll be home in time to kiss you goodnight. Good night, Robert.
Good night, Professor.
Elliot's a darling. When I asked him to go out, he agreed like a lamb. Bob, I feel I owe you an explanation. I've given you a dirty deal, haven't I? I didn't mean to. It was just one of those things.
You don't have to explain. We were never formally engaged.
I know. Still, it was understood. At least, I thought it was. That someday we'd marry.
I should have made it official by giving you a ring, but I didn't want to cramp your style while you were at college. I took a gamble and lost.
Bob, I'm awfully sorry.
Oh, forget it. I hope you'll be very happy.
I always want us to be friends.
I can never be friends with you, Gwen. Do you know why? Because I love you. Men can't be friends with the women they love. They can worship them, even hate them, but never just be friends.
You've never spoken to me like this before.
No, I haven't. And as I shan't get a chance to again, I may as well go on. I've adored you, Gwen, ever since I saw you going off to school with pigtails hanging down your back. You were the loveliest thing I'd ever seen. And I've never changed my opinion.
That's a very sweet thing to say.
It's funny. Now that I've lost you to someone else, I don't seem to be so tongue-tied. I suddenly feel able to tell you things, to tell you how much I've always needed you.
I've got your fraternity pin here. I want to give it back to you.
Do you remember the night I gave you this?
Uh-huh. Was it a dance out of Brookside?
Mm-hmm. We walked over to the first green. The moon was shining so brightly you could almost see the colored pebbles in the sand trap. You had on a pink dress and wore a silver ribbon in your hair.
And then you kissed me.
Yeah. Like this. I suddenly feel able to tell you things. To tell you how much I've always needed you.
I've got your fraternity pin here. I want to give it back to you.
Do you remember the night I gave you this?
Uh-huh. Was it a dance out of Brookside?
Mm-hmm. We walked over to the first green. The moon was shining so brightly you could almost see the colored pebbles in the sand trap. You had on a pink dress and wore a silver ribbon in your hair.
And then you kissed me.
Yeah. Like this.
No, not a bit like that.
That's what I used to dream of doing all the time you were away.
Oh, darling, you mustn't. I'm engaged.
To me, you'll always be my girl.
Oh, this evening isn't going a bit as I planned.
I'm sorry, Gwen, but I can't be alone with you and not touch you and love you. I'll have to go. Good night, and goodbye, darling.
Bob! Bob, you forgot your pin! Bob? How many more do we have to do, Aunt Grace?
About 20.
Oh, I wish we were having a small wedding. We seem to be inviting everybody in town. Well, that can't be Lois and Elliot back so soon, can it?
Why don't you go and see?
All right, I will. Oh, it's you.
Hi.
Is that you, Robert? Don't keep him standing in the hall, Gwen.
I'm sorry, Bob. Come in.
Thanks. Hope I'm not disturbing you.
How nice to see you, Robert. You haven't been near us for 10 days.
I saw the professor and Lois drive off earlier in his car, and I thought you might be sitting around.
Oh, we are. We're sitting around working, addressing wedding invitations. It's quite the job.
Oh. What I really came for is, you remember the last time I was here?
Yes.
You gave me back my pin, and I left it somewhere. I think on the coffee table there.
Oh, did you? I didn't notice.
I thought I ought to retrieve it. I mean, I might want to wear it at a college reunion sometime.
Now, I'll ask the maid if she found it when she was dusting next day.
Well, it must be about somewhere, Robert, if you left it lying there.
Gosh, Miss Randall, the last thing I want back is that pin. I was only trying to think of some excuse to come over and see Gwen.
Robert, I want to talk to you.
Huh?
Quickly, while I have the chance. I think Gwen's changed. That she feels differently about Elliot.
You do?
Yes. She hasn't been herself for over a week now, and I've heard her crying in her room night after night. I don't think in her heart she wants to go through with it.
That's wonderful.
No, not in her case. Any other girl would break her engagement. But Gwen's too proud to admit that she's made a mistake. She'll walk down that aisle if her heart is breaking.
Well, we can't let her. She's got to be stopped. I've been thinking of an idea that might work. The time has come for desperate action.
Oh, dear. What sort of desperate action?
Well, I think Potter Erickson is the one to help me. He's strong and eager and kind of dangling from your family tree.
But why do you need somebody strong and eager? You're not planning to beat up Elliot, are you?
Oh, no, nothing like that. But if I can make Gwen feel that I'm dependent on her... Oh, here she is, Skipper.
No, the maid didn't find your pin, Robert. She thinks it may have been picked up with some old newspaper she threw out, but I think it's been mislaid.
Oh, I expect it'll turn up. Well, I guess I'll be going.
Oh, you don't have to go. You could stick around till Elliot gets back.
Oh, thanks, but I have some urgent business to attend to. Good night, Miss Randall.
Good night, Robert.
I'll be seeing you, Gran. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, he's such a nice boy.
Yes.
He'll make some girl a very good husband. Maybe that's why he wanted his pin. Maybe he's getting interested in somebody else.
Maybe. Well, anyway, it's a matter of complete indifference to me. Let's get on with the invitations. Oh, Elliot, you're back.
Come and sit beside me and hold my hand. I feel I haven't seen anything of you the last week or so.
Oh, there's been so much to do. Shopping for my trousseau, all those fittings.
Oh, cheer up. This time next week, we'll be over the hills.
And far away.
You'll belong to me. You're not very affectionate, my sweet. What's the matter?
Oh, I guess I'm tired. I think I'm scared of the whole thing as it grows closer. But that's silly.
I'm very sensitive to people's moods. I date a change in you from the night I left you alone with Robert. Darling, did anything happen that night that you haven't told me? Did you kiss him goodbye?
Well, not exactly. He kissed me.
What?
Well, he grabbed me suddenly. I didn't expect it.
I hope you didn't hurt his feelings by laughing too hard.
Well, why should I laugh?
Don't you recall saying you couldn't imagine kissing him anymore, that you'd die laughing right in his face?
I couldn't somehow. He was so sincere and pathetic and upset. I felt so sorry for him.
That's it, Gwen. Sorrow. You've got a goat complex about Robert.
Yes, of course. I've even dreamed about him twice in the last week.
Well, now that you've admitted the trouble, you'll be able to put him out of your mind.
Gwen! Hey, Gwen, there's been an accident.
What? Is that you, Potter?
Yeah, it's Robert. He's been hurt. Can I put him on the couch?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Be gentle with him. What's the matter with him? What happened?
Well, I was walking along the street, and suddenly I saw Robert in an argument with two strikers from your father's plant. Huh? Yeah, and all of a sudden, fists are flying, and Robert's down for the count.
Oh, poor Bobby.
I think he may have hit the back of his head when he fell. Oh. Maybe he has a concussion.
Concussion? Oh, that's serious. Oh, dear, his eye is turning black. Elliot, run across the street and fetch Dr. Brogan, the big white house near the bus stop.
Well, of course, dear. Though I'm sure there's nothing to worry about. He's probably just stopped.
Oh.
I took him home first, but nobody's there.
His mother's in Cleveland. We'll have to keep him here and nurse him. I'll go and tell Aunt Grace. Aunt Grace? Aunt Grace? Robert's been hurt. He needs me to look after him.
Did you hear those musical words, Potter? He needs me to look after him. Boy, she's fallen for it.
Pipe down. She may hear you.
And you needn't have been so thorough. I think you dislodged a tooth.
You wanted it to look real, so I had to give you a good sock.
I said give me a gentle tap.
Where's the dead duck?
Slow, slide back, you dope. Too late.
Oh, so you've come too.
Quiet.
What's cooking here?
We're pulling a gag on Gwen to make her realize she's in love with Robert. Now cooperate, Moonglow, or I'll comb your hair with a rake.
Don't you think we're all a little too old for this type of parlor game?
Jeepers.
I really am surprised at you, Robert. You were so obviously faking. I didn't go for the doctor. I watched this horseplay through the window.
All right, Professor. You score again. I suppose it was stupid.
Stupid? It was utterly childish. Far more typical of Lois's silly bobby socks behavior than yours.
Hey, now, listen, Mr. Bookworm. Nobody's going to call Moonglow silly in my presence and get away with it.
Now, suppose you stay out of this, Potter.
Yes, Potter. This is a matter between me and the professor.
I disagree. You just insulted my girl, so...
Hey, Potts, take it easy.
Holy mackerel, Potts. You've knocked him cold on the couch defending my honor.
Hey, what happened? I only poked him once. Must have been a lucky punch.
I heard something snap. I think you cracked his wishbone.
I knew if you tapped that old bird, it'd fall apart.
Well, what are we going to do with the pieces?
Oh, am I in the soup, but good. Now Gwen will think he needs her and she'll never forgive me. I'm getting out of here. I don't dare face her.
But what should we say? How should we explain
it? You think up something, Lois. You got more imagination than I have. All I can think of is to really get the doctor.
Is that Elliot back for the doctor? No.
I wish he'd hurry.
Is he conscious yet?
Hasn't flickered an eyelid.
Well, I've got an ice towel. That'll make him feel better. Robert, Robert, speak to me. Elliot! What's he doing on the couch? Well, what happened to him? Where's Robert?
There's been a switch of corpses.
Oh, Elliot, Elliot. Oh, he's so pale and helpless. What can I do for you, darling?
What's all this about Robert being hurt?
He recovered and went for the doctor. It's a minor miracle.
Well, what? Good grief. What's happened to poor old fish face?
He swallowed a left hook. I shouldn't have hit a man three times my age.
So you hit him?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
I'm delighted. I wanted to slug the old son of a gun for days.
And so ends Act Two of our play. Poets and writers in many lands have written much about Christmas. But nothing expresses the spirit of this great festival better than that first Christmas greeting. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth. Australians are fortunate that our country is at peace this Christmas. Fortunate, too, that this period of peace has made possible an era of unprecedented industrial expansion, bringing in turn greater employment opportunities and a high standard of living. We can, for instance, derive deep satisfaction from the fact that one in every four Australians now owns a motor car. But our ownership carries with it far-reaching responsibilities. And that is where the second part of our quotation comes in. Goodwill to men. General Motors Holdens ask every motorist to demonstrate goodwill this Christmas by driving with the utmost care and courtesy. 62 Australians lost their lives on our roads at this time last year. Goodwill, expressed in careful, considerate driving, will avoid a repetition of this tragic total. By doing so, it will make all the difference between safety and injury, life and death, sorrow and happiness. Whether you are a pedestrian or a motorist, General Motors Holdens and everyone at GMH wish you a happy Christmas and a most enjoyable holiday season. And now here is the final act in the General Motors Hour production of Be Your Age.
Here's another pair of bookends, Aunt Grace.
Because Gwen's marrying a professor, the bookends are beating the ashtrays 4-1.
Say, when do we eat? I'm starved.
Later. Now the strike's settled, your father had so much work to catch up on. You should have gone to the country club. You were invited.
Oh, I didn't want to go to a silly old kitchen shower with all Gwen's most intimate friends. They regard me as an adolescent.
And aren't you?
At least I'm not so infantile I go to the altar with a man I'm not in love with.
That in itself is a very infantile conclusion.
Well, I still feel that Gwen might have changed her mind about marrying Elliot if she'd been nursing Robert instead of him.
Perhaps. But she's so disgusted with Robert that in the 10 days since Elliot's unfortunate accident, she won't speak to him. And Elliot's injury has her more deeply involved with him than ever. From the way she's dramatizing it, you'd think that Potter had maimed Elliot for life. He only cracked a couple of ribs. And speaking of Robert, has anyone seen him lately? How's his eye?
Potter says it's faded to a delicate blue.
He certainly stayed away from this house.
Daddy told me yesterday he thought he'd thrown in the sponge.
I could wring your sweet sister's pretty neck. Ah, well, I'd better take some of these empty boxes out to the incinerator.
Okay, Aunt Grace, I'll open some of these.
Anybody home? Ah, hello, Moonglow.
Hi, Dad.
Jumping Jehoshaphat. What a shambles.
Now, don't start fussing, Daddy. Remember, all this loot is for free.
Free? Why, this clam baker sending me back $2,000. If I have to face up to this matrimonial racket again, I'll end up in the poorhouse. So see that you and your sister Vicky remain old maids.
Huh? Some hope.
Oh, good morning.
Oh, morning, Elliot. How's your spare ribs this morning?
Very tender. Quite a pile of stuff here, isn't there?
Oh, I'll answer that.
Well, I'm glad your strike's over, Archie.
If it had gone on any longer, I'd have finished up on the bread line.
Holy mackerel, Gwen. What a pile of stuff.
Take half of them, will you, Lois? Put them in the kitchen.
Okay.
Oh, Daddy, take these, will you? I can't hold them much longer.
Righto. Hey, these are a lot of pots and pans for a girl who can't even fry an egg.
And where shall we put them? You haven't seen my kitchenette, Gwen. It's about the size of your aunt's linen closet.
Oh, we'll manage somehow. How are you, darling?
The happiest man alive. Tuesday's only 3 days away. Did you enjoy your luncheon?
It was a lovely party.
Which reminds me, I've had no lunch. I feel a little hollow.
Well, it should be on the table. Well, you go along, Elliot. Tell Grace I'll be there in a second. I want a word with Gwen.
Elliot, darling, you're very neglectful. Give me a kiss first.
Oh, careful. My ribs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must try to remember it.
Yeah, on Tuesday, we better pin a label on him.
That won't apply to you, darling. The fact that Tuesday has come at last will make me well again.
You look kind of tired, my dear.
All these premarital parties are wearing me out. I'll be thankful when the whole thing's over. I'm exhausted.
And perhaps this is the wrong moment to ask you to do something for me.
What is it? You sound so serious.
Well, Robert's coming over to see you.
Oh, Daddy, I wish he wasn't. I've nothing to say to him.
Well, he has something to say to you. He wants to say goodbye.
Is he going away?
For a long time. I want you to try and persuade him not to do something he may regret for the rest of his life.
Why, Daddy? What?
Well, he's determined to get as far away from here as possible. He's proposing to bury himself in an Amazon jungle.
Doing what?
Oh, routine construction job for the Brazilian government.
But it's ridiculous. Well, can't you stop it?
Well, frankly, my dear, I haven't the heart to. I understand his feelings only too well. When I lost your mother, I just wanted to go off and hide myself from everyone. If it hadn't been for you and Vicky and Lois, I think I'd have done it.
So you're blaming me that he's doing this silly thing?
Well, why else would the boy want to throw away his brilliant prospects here?
Now, Daddy, that's not fair. I can't be held responsible for his decisions. I can't live his life for it.
Say, now, isn't that remark just a little callous, Gwen?
Just because I'm not over-sentimental, it doesn't mean that I'm heartless inside.
Then you've conveyed the wrong impression. Oh, I know it was a silly trick that Bob played, but he only did it because he loves you. He wrote, apologized. You might have met him halfway.
He didn't deserve an answer.
Very well. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll be leaving the church with Elliot on the wrong foot if you don't clear up your responsibilities to Robert. He is your responsibility, however much you may try to run away from the fact. He loves you. He's turning his back on his future because you've hurt him. If you're the girl I think you are, you'll make an effort to bring him back to his senses.
Well, I wouldn't know how. He wouldn't listen to anything I said.
He might, if you could find the right words.
Well, the only words which would keep him here, I can't say.
Well, won't you do your best to please me?
All right, Daddy. When does he leave?
Monday.
As soon as that?
Well, the day before your wedding, Gwen. Ah, there he is. I'll go let him in. Look, I'm sorry you have to face this difficult problem, my darling, but... Well, that's one of the penalties of growing up. Thank you. Well, wasn't Robert going? It's this box for you.
Oh, my wedding dress. Thank you, Daddy.
I left the door open for Robert, and I'll go upstairs while you try to think what to say to him. And, good luck, darling.
My dress. Here comes the bride. Here.
Hello? Hello, anybody home? Oh, Gwen.
Oh, hello, Robert. I was trying on my veil.
Don't take it off. Let me see it.
All right.
Oh, it's lovely. You're going to make a beautiful bride.
Thank you.
Got something in your eye?
No. Yes, I think I have. It's been watering for the last hour.
Let me have a look. Yeah, it's all red. Nope, can't see a thing.
It must be out. It's probably just irritated. How's your eye?
Sore.
Daddy tells me you're going away.
Yep.
Brazil?
Yep.
Well, now, what'll you do with yourself all the time in the middle of the jungle?
Kill things. Big snakes, big cats, big crocodiles.
Big mosquitoes?
I'll take a giant-sized squatter.
Well, you don't have to go to the Amazon to kill mosquitoes. They say they're the size of hummingbirds in New Jersey.
New Jersey's too near the George Washington Bridge.
Oh, Bob, don't go away. It's wrong. It's crazy. It's running out on things.
Sorry, Gwen, but I must work this out my own way.
Well, is there nothing I can say to all of you?
My mind's made up. But there is one favor you could do for me. There's a mental picture I'd like to carry away with me.
What?
You in your bridal gown. I've imagined it hundreds of times.
Then why don't you stay till Tuesday?
You wouldn't be alone with me then. You are now. Put on the rest of your dress for me.
Well, it's bad luck for anybody to see me.
Not for anybody, just the groom.
Well...
Please, Gwen. It's the last thing I'll ever ask you to do.
Oh, turn your back. I'll slip it on for a second.
All right. How's that?
Thank you.
My pin!
What?
My fraternity pin, the one you mislaid. That's where you mislaid it, on your slip.
How dare you? You pig!
I didn't. I just watched you in that mirror. You've got my pin on the front of your slip. You love me. You love me.
Oh, no.
Why else would you pretend my pin was lost? Oh, Gwen, darling, you love me.
I do not. You're wrong. I'm marrying Elliot.
That's what he thinks. You don't love him.
I do. I do.
Holy mackerel, what a lie. Oh, Gwen, darling.
Oh, no, you can't. You...
Oh, darling.
Gwendolyn!
What?
Elliot!
What's the meaning of this scandalous behavior?
Don't talk to me in that tone of voice. Zip me up.
Why don't you ask Robert? He probably unzipped you.
He did nothing of the sort.
I'll be happy to oblige, darling.
You keep your hands off me.
That request is a little late, isn't it?
I don't know what you're inferring, Elliot. You're making a scene about nothing.
About nothing? I come in here and find the boy half eating you and you call it nothing?
We were merely saying goodbye. What's come over you, Elliot? I thought you were a broad-minded man of the world who never got jealous.
Don't attack me because you're in the wrong. That's a typical female trick.
I won't discuss psychology with you until you regain your temper and cool down.
Very well. Let me ask you quite calmly. Was that charming, intimate little scene I just witnessed one of a series?
Listen, Professor, don't take it out on Gwen. It was all my fault. She didn't have anything to do with it.
From what I observed, she was having a great deal to do with it. How many more episodes have there been like that, Gwendolyn? You admitted you kissed Robert the night I left you alone with him. Your mind's been out of the window ever since, and now I walk into the room and find you twined around him like a boa constrictor. All I want is an assurance from you that this relationship with Robert has stopped at necking.
Oh!
Darling, this is no time for one of your displays of obstinacy. You have your choice of putting my mind at rest or calling the whole thing off.
I won't do it. You can't walk out on me, practically at the church door. I insist that you marry me.
Look, sweetheart, I'll save your face for you. If the professor lets you down, I'll step into his shoes. In a way, I suppose I owe it to your father, after what we've been to each other all this week.
Robert, what are you talking about?
I warned you the professor might catch on.
Bob!
Oh, don't bother to throw a surprise act, darling. The professor's a smart egg. He knows I've been alone in my house all week.
Oh, Bob, think what you're saying. You may be wrecking my wedding.
You better give him back his mother's ring.
I won't give it back to him. I won't.
She will, Professor. Gwen's not a gold digger.
Gold?
No hard feelings, Professor. To a man who's studied women all his life, it can't be too much of a shock to find out she's been carrying on with me.
I have not carried on with them.
You said that women were unpredictable creatures. I was the one who got the surprise when she tiptoed across the lawn and tapped on my door.
I did not tap on your... I hate you. I loathe you. I utterly despise you.
Oh, my eye! Gwen, don't think that because Robert says that...
Don't talk to me. It's all your fault.
Oh, my ribs.
Oh, I hate men.
Oh. Up the blazing fire in my house. Oh.
What have you two big bullies been doing to my little girl?
What have we been doing? I'll be in plaster for another year.
And I'll just be plastered.
What is all this? Who's been fighting who and what about?
They've both been insulting me. Elliot's been horrid and Robert's been worse.
Mr. Holly, I came in to say goodbye and found Gwen wearing my fraternity pin.
If you'd seen what I saw, Baldy, you'd think I was entitled to
Quiet! Quiet! Pull yourself together. Now, let's cut out this theory. Give me the facts like a rational human being. Now, Elliot... You're the oldest person here. What have you to say?
I've discovered in pretty convincing terms that your daughter's fallen out of love with me. I've suspected it for quite a while.
Oh.
I was conceited enough to think that after we were married, she'd learn to love me in time. A typical manifestation of male ego. But the lid's off the cauldron. It'll break my heart to lose you, Gwen, but better today than tomorrow.
But Elliot...
Gwen, darling, a mistake is nothing to be ashamed of. I know it takes guts to admit that you've been wrong, but you have got it. That's one of the reasons I fell in love with you.
Don't let me down, Gwen. I don't want you to marry me just because you had a guilt complex and felt sorry for me. Now, come on. Let's have it. You do love Robert, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do. Oh, Elliot.
My ribs.
Sweet, Elliot, you're a darling. I do love Bob. But I wouldn't marry him if he was the last man alive.
Because he lied about your tiptoeing through the garden?
But nobody would believe that.
Oh, merciful heavens, what a stubborn mule I've given birth to. The girl's just admitted she loves the boy. You know, it'd have served you right, Gwen, if you ended up as an old maid. Now, you go over there at once and tell that boy you'll marry him.
Never, never, never.
Archie, it's beginning to dawn on me that I've had a lucky escape. I'm much too old to cope with that stubborn nature.
I'm much too young. You can keep him, Mr. Holly. Why, I wouldn't marry that girl unless she asked me on her bended knees. Come on, Professor. Let's have a drink and celebrate our freedom.
Let's have a couple of drinks.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Robert. Daddy is right. I'm a silly, proud fool. On my bended knees. Will you take this stubborn mule to be your wedded wife?
I'll think it over.
Oh!
I've thought it over. The answer's I will.
Oh, praise the Lord and pass the champagne. Oh, I'm sorry, Fishface. Nothing personal, but I'm a complete loss what to say to you. I don't know whether you're miserable, happy, furious, or relieved.
I'm resigned.
My sole objection to you has always been that I couldn't bear the idea of a son-in-law older than myself. Now, who's that? Hello. Who? Vicky? Well, why, what's wrong? Now, don't tell me you can't be here for your sister's wedding. What? You've just been married yourself? But who to? Pinky Butterworth? Where, Larry? Hey, does anybody know who Pinky Butterworth is?
Yes, Archie. He's a big Broadway producer, and he's 63 if he's a day.
And so ends the General Motors Hour production of Be Your Age, written by Mary Orr and Reginald Denham, in which you heard the following players. As Potter, John Ewart. Grace, Fifi Banvard. Lois, Jan Coughlin. Bob, Derek Barnes. Elliot, Leonard Bullen. Archibald Holly, Reginald Collins. And as Gwendolyn, you heard our star, Maddie Head. The General Motors Hour is directed by Harry Harper, who produced tonight's play. 1 week from tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the General Motors Hour will present The Weatherman. We may often have wished to make our own weather, but Joe Doolittle found that he could. And what complications that caused. Heading our cast in this improbable but very amusing comedy is Ben Gabriel, with Mark Kelly, Francis Worthington, Ethel Fleming, Amber May Cecil, Bruce Beebe, Derek Barnes, Don Crosby, John Tate, and Reginald Collins. And now, a closing message. Good roads save tires, petrol, maintenance costs, and lives. Whenever and wherever there is a movement to get better roads, support it. And remember, 1 week from tonight, the General Motors Hour production of The Weatherman, starring Ben Gabriel. Until then, this is John Deese saying goodnight to you all from the General Motors Hour, which now signs off from the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations throughout Australia.